Well, let's pray. Mighty Father, grant now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I remember it distinctly, almost as if it was yesterday, shuffling forwards slowly, fearfully, the book in my hands, terrified as tears started to form, step by step, onward, until finally it was my turn to show my classwork to my primary teacher, or should I say more accurately, my lack of classwork, because no classwork had been done that day, just like there was no classwork done the day before, and I was terrified. I was certain that punishment of the most severe and certain kind was now unavoidable. And I wonder whether you too can identify with that kind of feeling, that dread, that fear of being found out for what you've done, or in my case, what you haven't done, being exposed for what you really are and ultimately punished. That kind of fear, of course, goes all the way back, if you think about it, to the beginning, to what we heard read to us from Adam and Eve in the garden, who, as that reading told us, having sinned, hid themselves from God, scared, naked, ashamed, knowing full well that what they had done meant that they deserved certain death. For as God said, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And it is also a fear, and I wonder if you noticed this, that we saw in that second reading too, where we met that group of shepherds out on the hillside, full of fear. For verse 9, it said to us, they were terrified, or more literally, they were fearing with a fear. And why? They had been out that night watching their flocks, as they did most nights, nothing unusual about that, when suddenly, verse 7, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And perhaps you're hearing that like a chocolate box scene with beautiful white wings and a lovely candlelit glow. Don't. Hear that as a breaking through of a glory so intense that the seraphim themselves hide their faces, of a holiness before which the earth itself shakes and trembles. And that angel, that is to say, one of those fearsome creatures like those by whom God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, an angel like those by which God wiped out the firstborn of Egypt and reached out with plagues on his own people. They were not there thinking the angel had come to comfort them. They thought the angel was there to destroy them. No wonder they were greatly terrified. I imagine their lives, or at least their sins, flashed before their eyes in that moment. And they quaked in fear, just like Adam and Eve before them. And perhaps just like one or two of us do too, as we think about the day when we will stand before the same glory of God ourselves. For as the scripture says, it is given to man to die once, and then comes judgment. And we cannot hide forever. But then comes the but. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. How wonderful is that? The angel of the Lord has not come there to destroy them. He has come to give them good news which he says is good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And what is that good news? He says it is. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. What does that mean? God's promised people had been waiting for this Messiah for so long. Since the fall itself, which we heard about with the serpent, God had started to promise that he would send someone born of woman who would crush the serpent's head, or the dragon, by the end of the Bible. One who would set them free from that curse of sin and death forever. And since that time, they've been hearing more and more and more about this coming Savior. They've heard that he would be born of a virgin, that he would come and save God's people and rule them with justice, and even that he would come from Bethlehem, the town of David. That is what the angel is saying here. The angel is saying, good news, he has finally come. It was the first part of our reading, wasn't it? Joseph and Mary in town for the census. Mary giving birth to her firstborn and laying him in a manger. And I suspect that if you were walking around Bethlehem that day and you peered through the door, you might have felt a little bit sad. Oh, it's a shame for this young lady to have to lay her baby in a manger, but for the times, I don't think you would have given it a second thought. Nothing that unusual. Yet in fact, as the angel has just said, that humble birth was in fact the greatest birth there would ever be. Good news of great joy. The one who would save his people forever and mean that ultimately they do not need to be afraid. But why? Why would this baby in the manger mean that people would no longer need to be afraid, even in the presence of the glory of God itself? How could it be that this baby in a manger could mean that sinful man could stand before a holy God and not be destroyed? I'm glad you asked. Because this is why Jesus did not come down to us on the clouds to save us. This is why he was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger to save us. Born in human flesh to save humankind from human sins. So that in him humans could be set free from sin and death and judgment. How does it work? How does anyone save anyone? If you save someone from drowning, you reach in and you pull them out of the water, don't you? If you save someone from slavery, perhaps, you have to overpower their captors and set them free, perhaps. But Jesus saves us in this way. He becomes us. He takes our place so that by becoming man, he can pay the sins that man has committed. He can suffer that death. He can face that judgment for us. And this is what is happening at Christmas. This is why it is good news. Because God is becoming man to die to save man, to bring us the first true peace with God since the Garden of Eden. Like the first reading said, because of sin, man must surely die. And that is justice and that is right. But that first Christmas, God became that man. And he died for us. And that is love. A love that means that men and women of every tribe and tongue and nation do not need to be afraid anymore, but can rejoice in the news of great joy that a Savior is born to us, who is Christ the Lord. Now, as it happened on the day when I did show my teacher my lack of work, she did not punish me, but she looked with favor upon me and smiled and comforted and encouraged me, and that's probably why I remember it until today. And how about the shepherds? When they heard those words of the angel, they stopped fearing too, and they went out with great joy to see their Savior and came back glorifying and praising God. And how about us? Are we here still terrified of death and judgment, of the day when everything we have thought or said or done in darkness comes to light? Or is this the day that we are trusting in Jesus, born in Bethlehem to save us so that we do not need to be afraid, who became us that first Christmas to save us to be his forever? Dear brothers and sisters, let us this Christmas most of all find that true joy story, that comfort and cheer in the words of the angel. Do not be afraid. Trust in the Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Good news of great joy for you and all the people. Amen.